Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning together Divrei Hayomim Beis, Perek Tezvov, the 15th chapter of the second book of Divrei Hayomim. Our Perek focuses on the reformation that Asa brings into play. It is 19 psukim long and the parallel parasha can be found at the end of Perek Tezvov of Sefer Melachim Aleph. Just a reminder, Asa is the son of Avia, the grandson of Rechavam and the great-grandson of Shlomo HaMelech. We've seen that he has led a spiritual reformation already. He's fought a successful battle against Zerah HaKushi, this king from Ethiopia, and now we enter into our Perek. Our Perek starts with the first seven psukim of a prophecy from Azariahu. Azariahu, the son of Oded, is the prophet who comes to him and says to Asa the following. Listen, Asa, Shmu'uni Asa, all of Yehuda, all Binyamin, Hashem is with you if you're with him. If you will seek him out, he will be found to you. But if you leave him, he will leave you. So it's going to be a mirror relationship. And then he describes, Yamim Rabim li Yisrael, there were many days into Israel, that there were no Elokei Emes, there were no gods of truth. There was no God of truth or leading or power of truth. There was Lo Kohen Moreh, without a priest who's teaching, Lo Torah, without the teachings of the Torah. And there's such a time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu then was sought out, and nobody really sought him out to find them. And therefore, at those times, Ein Shalom, LeYosef Olabo, there was no real peace. There was much confusion, and there were many infightings and outfightings. You should be, V'atem chizku v'al yirpu yerechem, ki yesh sachar lepulaschem, know that there is a reward to your work. So it's a very strong prophecy. Why is he coming now? So the Radak says, this is a chizuk. He's trying to strengthen the resolve of what Asa has been doing up till now. You're doing the right thing. Don't think it is for naught. Perhaps it's even more necessary now after the victory against Zerah the Ethiopian, because maybe at this point in time, that is exactly the point. Sometimes when we succeed, that's when we start imagining to ourselves that we succeeded by ourselves. Now, he talks about these Yamim Rabim, these days of yore. What is he referring to? The Mitzvah says that it refers to the future, the days of Achaz, the days of Menashe, when the children of the Bnei Yehuda would not follow Hashem and all the problems and travails that would befall them then. But it's hard to understand that it's referring to the future, because the Navi seems to be talking about something which Asa himself knows of. So the Ralbag says he's looking back to the times of Shoftim. The times of Shoftim, yes, there was a leader here, there was a leader there. But all in all, it seemed that they kept slipping back. The nation of Israel slipped back and back again, time and time again, into the abyss of lawlessness, of anarchy, and lacking of spiritual leadership. And this is what he's been referring to. So he's saying, look at that, back at that time. Israel was not sovereign. They didn't have borders. They didn't have an army. They didn't have international trade. All these things which only came at the times of David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech. So that's as a function of the fact that society did not have a spiritual center. We're holding it all together. I wonder if perhaps this Navi is also saying that's what's happening in the north. You may say to yourself, well, the northern kingdom is much more powerful, much stronger than us, has many more people, more tribes living there. Is it all worth it? Well, look at their society, perhaps, the Navi is saying to them, and see that it's not so simple, necessarily, what you're doing is correct. And what really essentially is being said is that without morality, without God, a society will fall apart. They can create for themselves whatever ideals they want. But if there's no God in it, the society will slowly fall apart. And you look at world history, that has been the case. The only society which has not fallen apart is the one which has HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the center of it. Now, we move further into the Psukim Ches to Tesvov. We now see about what the response of Asa is, and it's really sharp and fast. He returns to Yerushalayim, and he responds to the Nevuah of Oded HaNavi. Now, Oded is actually the father of the Navi, but Oded could be referring to that his father also prophesied, or that the word Oded means to idud, to encouragement, the encouragement given to him by this Navi. And he went and he removed the Shikutzim, the disgusting images, the forms of idol worship in the land of Yehuda and Binyamin, and from the cities which he conquered from Har Ephraim, and he renewed the altar which was in the Beis HaMikdash, and he gathered all of Israel, all the people in Yehuda and Binyamin, even the ones who are living in Ephraim, Menashe, Shimon, who were now in fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They now had a renewed sense of respect for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he gathers them all in Yerushalayim in the third month, and this is the 15th year of his kingdom. And he brings many sacrifices, and they bring the shalal, all the spoils of the battle, describes how many sacrifices they bring, and he sets about a new covenant. When the covenant is, Lidrosh es Hashem l'keo esechem, to search out Hashem, where with their hearts and their souls. And he says, anybody who does not search Hashem, does not want Hashem in your lives, will be put to death. Min ha-katon v'ad-gadol, from the young to the old. Man to woman, everybody, and they swear upon this, and they're very happy. They were happy that they entered into this covenant. So Asa is taking the words of the Navi very seriously. Now, the strange thing is that what are these shikutzim, these disgusting things, the avodah zarah that he's getting rid of? Didn't he already get rid of them? So the answer is, the Malbim points out, is that the fact that this prophet, Michayahu, is coming to him and telling him that this is that there's work to be done, implies that there is work to be done, meaning to say it isn't perfect, whether things slipped back, whether he didn't know fully the extent of the assimilation, but nonetheless, he has work to do. I also wonder in this, if that it's reflecting the annexed territories of the north. These the areas of Ephraim and Manasseh that we're referring to, that are referred to here, maybe those areas were not cleansed or purged perfectly, which could be what's going on. Now, who are these folks from Ephraim and Manasseh? Why are they mentioned here? How is this working on? So Ralbag explains that the timeline is not as it would be seem immediately. And that is like this. For the first 10 years of Asa's rule, there was peace. There was no problems whatsoever. Implying that the war with Ethiopia against Zerah must have happened after 10 years of peace. That's when that war happened. This prophecy is not following the battle against Ethiopia. It is actually another 5 years later, and the 15th year, as is clear, of his rule. And so rather than saying, like the Radak would say, that the battle of Ethiopia happened in the 15th year, no, that battle happened in the 10th year. And now what happened was there was another battle that happens between the south and the north, and the south were victorious against Baasha, the king of the north, says the Ralbag. And in that there's a conquest of territory, that's all the cities slightly north of Yehuda, and there are people who now fear and return and immigrate to Yehuda, and they bring those spoils to the base of English. So after that battle, this prophecy and this recommitment happens. Now, the funny thing is it says that they're rejoicing over the Shavua they took, which seems to be like a little bit of an internal contradiction. You don't rejoice over things you have to do. So the Malbim says, well, that's precisely the point. They didn't feel that they were doing it because they were forced. They were taking this upon themselves, and it was precisely the fact that they felt so bought in, that was why they were rejoicing. They really wanted this. You should notice also, just when looking through these psukim ches to yud, ches to tes, those two psukim talk about the significance of this being the bridging of the north and the south. This is the first of the spiritual leadership which tries to bring the northerners and the southerners together. That should be something we should note. And in the Psukim Yud to Yud Aleph, we notice the recreation of Har Sinai. There's the third month, a covenant around the Torah, an oath, the shofar blowing. This is all Matan Torah-esque descriptions, very powerful. And so Rabbi Yigal Ariel suggests in Sefer Melachim, in Migdash, his book, in Migdash Melech, that we see here the coming together. This is the man who could bring society together. He could bridge the rift between the south and the north. It won't be ultimately because of the next perek, but the potential exists, certainly at this point in time. And finally, we hear the end of the perek, Psukim Tes Zion to Yotes, the end of the perek, where we hear about the rest of the actions of Asa, and among them are, he removes I am Ma'acha Eim Asa, Ma'acha, the mother of Asa, Migvira, from her status, from a place of strength, Asherah Stola, Asherah Mafletzes, and she makes some sort of shrine to the Asherah, and he grinds down that Asherah tree, that Eshtar, and he throws it into the Kidron Valley outside Yerushalayim. He was not able to fully remove all the Bamot. We talked about this last time, about the personal altars to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he was able to restore the treasure houses to the houses, the coffers of his father. This is following the ransacking of Sheshak, which was just two generations back. And he had no further fights until the 35th year of his kingship. And so this is a 20 years of peace after the 15th year. Okay, one thing which is just a little strange here is it describes that he removes Ma'acha, his mother, which is strange because actually Ma'acha is his grandmother, as the Mefarshim point out. Meaning to say, Ma'acha is the mother of Aviah, or Aviam. Aviam is the father of Asa. So what's really going on over here? So it's just relating to him in terms of the influence she had over him. She was a very powerful figure, which is also shocking in the sense that she seems to be some icon for Avodah Zarah. Whether that means to say that she herself became this priestess, or the Malbim says perhaps some sort of licentious behavior relating to the pagan worship that she offered herself to be for. It's a very complex relationship. The Abarbanel points out that if you look at these three kings, Rechavam, Aviam, and Asa, Rechavam is influenced by his mother, Naamah Ammonis, and there's again a debate as to whether it was positive or negative, but the Abarbanel says that she brought with her the culture that she came from, and ultimately it was not a good influence. And then the mother of Aviam was Ma'acha, who's also was the granddaughter of Ma'acha the Geshurite, also bringing with her some of the more complex aspects of her nation. And what was the significance of this moment is Asa being able to break out of this maternal cycle, breaking out of the cycle of the influence of a more complex person in their lives. And that's perhaps why it's being focused, why it's being called AIM, Asa, because of the significance of the influence that this particular woman had in the kingship of Yehuda. And this concludes the Perek and really leaves us on a very powerful, profound moment. This is a moment of opportunity. Unfortunately, opportunity is lost, but that gets into the next Perek, Perek Tes Zayin. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.